Karen, have you ever heard of the term spiritual cord cutting?
I have not.
Oh, then this is going to be fun because I did a little bit of research on it and it is absolutely fascinating and it makes so much sense. It explains everything to me. So we've heard a lot about healings. Mm-hmm. We've talked to Reiki practitioners. We've talked to intuitive energy healers. We've talked to people who draw down entities to heal people. But the big question all along has been, man, why do people have this need to be healed all the time?
You're asking me for the answer?
I mean, kind of. No?
Well, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you no.
Oh, that's how it is. Okay, I understand. All right, well, our next guest actually could potentially give us an answer. My name is Will.
And I'm Karen.
And unlike Mulder and Scully,
we both want to believe.
So we've embarked on a journey of discovery.
We've talked to people deeply entrenched in the spiritual and metaphysical world.
We've thrown ourselves into weird and wonderful experiences. I even joined a coven of witches.
And wait, you joined a coven?
Yep, all in the interest of finding something.
Anything.
That will prove that there's something beyond this physical,
three-dimensional world we all live in.
This is the Skeptic Metaphysicians. This story brought a huge smile to my face, and I hope that you resonate with it as much as I did. It's called Potatoes, Eggs, and Coffee Beans. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable and that she didn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time. It seemed just as one problem was solved, another one soon followed. Well, her father, who's a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed each on a high fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. The daughter moaned and impatiently waited, wondering what in the world her father was doing. Well, after 20 minutes, the father turned off the burners, took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He pulled the eggs out and placed them in a bowl. And then he then ladled the coffee out and placed it in a cup. Turning to her, he asked, "Daughter, what do you see?" "Potatoes, eggs, and coffee," she hastily replied. "Look closer," the dad said, "and touch the potatoes." Well, she did and noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg was unbreakable. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aroma brought a smile to her face. She asked, "Father, what does this mean?" He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans had each faced the same adversity, the boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong, hard, and unrelenting, but in boiling water became soft and weak. The egg was fragile, with a thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior until it was put into boiling water. Then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique. After they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. "Question is," he asked his daughter, "which one are you? When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato, an egg, or a coffee bean?" In life, things happen around us. Things happen to us all the time. The only thing that truly matters is what happens within us. So, which one are you? The potato, the egg, or the coffee bean? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Skeptic Metaphysicians. I had to change it up a little bit, Karen. I can't say the same thing every time.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Usually it's like, "Hey, everyone." No, this one is, "Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Skeptic Metaphysicians." I'm super excited that you're here with us today. Without further ado, I want to welcome to the show Maria Molina. She is a psychic medium, a Reiki master teacher, a spiritual teacher, and a shamanic healer. Now,
Her work includes blessed and Reiki-infused wire-wrapped crystal jewelry, intentional candles, spiritual baths, and a whole bunch of other hygiene products that she makes with love in the interest of healing people. Maria, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me here.
So the question on the table, Maria, to see if you can answer it is, why the sudden need for so many healings out there?
I think we're just entering into this new state in life where it's the way we've been doing things, it's really not working anymore. And we're having a lot of, you know, I would say high vibrational souls coming in, being born, turning into adults. And, you know, we come from, it's just the vibration feels a lot higher. And so we're seeing where, you know, healing is needed, whether it's the earth, whether it's, you know, people. And it's not that, you know, we're the ones healing them. We're allowing them to really tap into their own healing energy. So mm-hmm. it's just the way the world is going and what's happening today, it's called, we're being called to step it up to the next level. Yeah. Because, things are shifting. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I think we need it so much. And I guess to answer your earlier question, Will, I think that especially now, there's so much just toxic energy. I mean, you can wake up in a great mood and you're out in traffic for 2 minutes and then, you know, someone cuts you off or, you know, whatever. And next thing you know, you're so angry and you're vibing with the rest of this anger that's out there right now. And I think it's just, good Lord, we need help. It's very toxic.
Yeah. But there is a lot of anger, there seems to be, in the world these days for lots of different reasons. And I'm sure a lot of it is merited and warranted, but some of it maybe has to do with something called spiritual cords, right, Maria?
I was thinking that too. Yeah, we're connected to everything. We're connected to, you know, the source, but we're also connected to each other. And so when people have fears, anxiety, anger, all these things, you know, we are feeling it, not knowing that, you know, we're tapped into all of it. You know, and then there's the mirrors and things that, you know, the social media and all these things, we're at different vibrational frequencies. It's like we're high, we're low, we're this, we're that. So, you know, we have to find our ground.
So I want to get back to the cords for a second, because the way I understand it, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but every time you meet somebody new, you make a connection, an energetic connection with that person. And if you spend some time with them, that energetic connection grows stronger. And it's like a cord, an energetic cord that goes between you and the person you just met. It could be a coworker, it could be a lover, it could be a family, friends, anybody. But then sometimes, as things happen, sometimes you go separate ways. And sometimes those cords are not severed. And over a certain period of time, more and more cords are connected to you, which sometimes could explain feelings of tiredness all the time, crankiness, anger, just general malaise, all these different things that people say the world is under a tremendous amount of strain under because of. Could, we're talking about the state of the world it's in right now, but could it be that we're just, we need to kind of clear our energies and cut our cords that are no longer viable to us? And that's like the entire world is so, have 50,000 cords coming out of them that they're just draining everyone's energy?
It's, you know, it's, there's many different ways to look at it. You know, someone who perhaps knows about this and knows how to clear, you know, knows how to ground their energy, most likely they won't be as affected as someone who just has no clue of how they share their energy with people. And what's the boundary? You know, they're not setting boundaries to themselves and their own energy. But what happens is, for instance, a lover, you know, you're intimate with your lover, you're connected, you're with them all the time, and then you break up. And you're feeling all these different emotions. You might even be feeling their emotions, and they're feeling yours. And it's just this back and forth thing. So, and if you think about past lovers, on and on and on, you know, friendships, parents. So, it does take a toll, and especially takes a toll when the other person maybe is more needy, is more like energy vampire, that kind of thing. That's when you start to kind of feel off. And so this is why it's important where you know your own energy. You know how you feel like. You know what it's like to be Will. And when you start to feel like Will, you know that maybe there might be some clearing that needs to be done.
Right. So Maria, I'm a Gemini, right? So someday I'll wake up feeling like Will, and the next day I'll feel like not Will. And then the next day after that, I'll feel like kind of somewhere in between. And sometimes I'm just someone completely different. So
yeah. How
can someone like me, who's maybe not as in tune with their own energy, how can I tell whether or not I need a clearing?
You just got to check in with self, like on a daily. So for instance, like waking up in the morning, seeing how you're feeling, like, you know, what does your body feel like? Does your head hurt? What are your emotions like? You know, so it's just like a check-in with yourself. Because sometimes maybe you are being affected as an empath, perhaps by the world around you or people or the situation. Grounding is important for that as well. You know, a tree knows it's a tree. It knows where it is, you know, regardless of the weather, the rain, the seasons, like it knows, like it's right there. That's where it belongs. And so that's kind of the same with us. You know, you know that you shift sometimes with your emotions. Maybe you know yourself better than you do. But if there's a difference between like not feeling like yourself, like if then maybe you kind of being emotionally up and down, you know, it's a slight difference. Feeling drained, feeling spiritually tired. Feeling spiritually tired is a different feeling than just feeling tired.
It's
almost like you can barely move. You know, that kind of feeling.
So we make all these connections and create these cords unwittingly. And say it's like a past, an ex lover. And it's years. Like, can that connection kind of fizzle and then re-happen? I'm asking this for a very specific reason. I think you know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm not liking it.
No, I mean, just like, you know, you forget, and like this person doesn't affect you, and then you move on, and then all of a sudden it comes back, and you're like, ugh.
And now you're affected. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Someone, whether it's you or that other person, is bringing the attention back to you or the situation. It's kind of like, you know, you think of someone and then they call you 2 days later. You know, like someone is, you know, reawakening that connection again.
Right. And I know that there are specific types of people who followed certain paths who actually undergo a ritual of sorts. Like we got to call it out the way it is, Karen, because there's no way I can explain this without saying. So an ex of hers is rematerialized out of the blue, and it's causing some thought processes to happen, right? Because he has some issues and he's getting over them and he's trying to make amends. And then the question is, do we want to bring that back into our lives or do we not want to, right? So sometimes when you undergo a breakup or an ending of a relationship of some sort, some people make a big ritual out of the actual severing of that connection, because that then helps you visualize the actual cord cutting spiritually between the two people. So I don't know, Karen, if you actually had a physical ritual of some sort of cord cutting ceremony to remove yourselves, your connection, because if you have it, that could be that connection is being reestablished and all the annoyances from in the past are coming right back in. Yeah.
Well, I don't like the thought of having a connection or a cord to this one. I went to Portugal the next day. Does that count? Is that a ritual?
No, I don't think it does.
It was very severing to me.
Well, yeah, but you do have, knowing you, and my apologies, Maria, for bringing you into this conversation, but knowing you the way I know you, you tend to just shut it away.
Yep.
You shut it away and you don't look at it again. So those connections, those cords are still attached.
That shutting away isn't enough to sever it?
No, it's not.
Well, no, I'm asking her. She's the expert.
Sorry. Yes, Maria, how does someone cut their cords?
Well, I mean, if you ignore it, it's kind of just like putting tape on a open pipe that's, you know, leaking. But what I do, I don't cut it. I remove it, right?
That's even better.
I visualize, because a lot of times when I feel cords, it's like more in my torso, middle section, more so by like my solar plexus is where I feel it. And when I remove cords from people, I feel it more like on the right side of their stomach area. So what I do is I picture like tree roots, like inside of me. And so I slowly, and with the help of Archangel Michael or whoever, you know, it can just be your old self. You don't need, you know, if you feel good doing it yourself. So I slowly, not too fast, start moving those roots. And these roots can be going from different directions, different energies. And I fully remove it. And I have this vision that it's being transmuted into something better. So energy is energy. It doesn't really die. So it gets transmuted. And then I invite light to fill that space where the roots were. If I cut it, I feel like it just regrows. And sometimes even when you remove the root, you can still start forming attachments with thoughts, with feelings, all these things, right? But just be mindful of it. So that's what I do. I remove it at the root and then I feel it with light.
Whoa.
Are there any cords that you shouldn't cut? Because my first thought when Will mentioned the cord cutting, I was thinking umbilical cord and like a connection to the mother or the earth or the energy source. But now I'm thinking more of like cable. Their connections to cable.
You know,
so are there any cords that you should keep?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't feel drained by a specific person's energy, then, you know, perhaps maybe it's not really taking from your life force. The way I see it, so removing cords doesn't mean that you are never going to talk to that person or you don't like that person. It just means that you want to be in your own energy source. So, okay. You know, we're all connected to source. So what happens is sometimes when we're corded to something maybe more toxic or maybe something more draining, it's almost like we're receiving life force energy, but it can easily be seeped out by these cords that we give. That's why like some people feel great when they're around us. And then when they leave, we're like kind of tired, You know, that kind of feeling. So we want our own energy cords.
Could we be inadvertently sucking someone else's energy?
We've all probably been toxic at one point or maybe needy or, you know, maybe we are going through a time in our lives where we need the core and we're not really in a good place. So we seek someone who makes us feel better, you know, and maybe when we leave, they're not so energetic after, you know.
They're exhausted.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I think it's important, like, to ask people, hey, can you hold space for me today? I'm not feeling cool, you know.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, can you hold space for me? You know, like asking them if it's okay instead of just, we don't know what their day is.
Instead of just dumping on them without them knowing.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Sucking their energies out of their bodies. So how about people who want to make those connections but are having a hard time doing so? Is there a way to strengthen that connection?
Strengthen, like, being corded with them? Like, I think if the connection is really strong and it makes both parties feel good, the way you strengthen it is just to kind of spend time and energy together. And sometimes, you know, like a twin flame situation, right? It's like both are in the same kind of energetic field. It's almost like they're two, one, like oneness there. So I can see something like that, you know, benefiting both. But as long as you guys can also remain in a good state separate, and that's not affecting you, then it shouldn't be a problem. But if it's a problem that you can't even separate from this person, I would maybe work on getting my power back a bit more.
Well, you know a lot about healing. You're a Reiki master teacher. You do wrapped jewelry. You are a shamanic healer. And I want to dive into some of that a little bit. But what made you decide, I've got to heal people?
Well, I don't feel like I heal people. I feel like I'm a tool to help them heal themselves, like it's, you know, but
right.
But as far as like wanting to help other people, I was sitting at, you know, I worked in New York City for 16 years. I was sitting at a desk and, you know, wondering about all these terrible things going on in this world, and I wanted to be useful and I didn't feel useful. It made me feel very anxious and depressed. And so Reiki started to come up a lot in my life, and I decided to get a Reiki session. I got 5 Reiki sessions and it changed my life. And I said, I need to do this for other people, or at least be there in that kind of way. So I quit my 9-to-5 thinking I'm going to have a big Reiki business. It didn't turn out that way, but I started from the ground up.
Right.
And I haven't stopped since. This was in 2015 when I left corporate.
How specifically did it change your life? Like, what was different after those 5 sessions?
It was like a light was turned on in me. It was, I was able to see clearly my purpose, where I didn't really know what my purpose was before. Like, I was just living the same mundane life.
Yeah, I can kind of relate, because everyone who has listened to the show knows my story and how I've been constantly looking, searching for that physical, tangible proof that some of this stuff is real. I'm not good at taking things by faith. And Reiki was actually the thing that proved to me that there's something there. Because to me, feeling it, I wasn't still 100% sure. But once I got attuned and the energy was flowing through me and the feelings that came from that, it was a change. It was a light bulb for me. It did change my life because suddenly I realized, oh, this is legit. This is not baloney. This stuff is real out there. So then made me want to look further into what else is there if Reiki is there. So I can imagine
Reiki was the catalyst to everything else.
Yes. And then now I have a podcast about it.
And now it's like a medium. It's just like,
it's like the gateway modality.
So I'm glad you brought up the psychic medium thing. We had someone on the show of a little while ago that his foundation certifies mediums. And I'd never really heard of that before until I had talked to him. And it's such a freaking fantastic idea because then you know who's real. So in researching you before you came onto the interview, I realized on your website, you say that you are a certified medium. So I'm fascinated. Can you tell us how, who certified you and what was the process like?
Okay. So Lillian Flores, she certified me and she learned from Lisa Williams to I forgot who Lisa Williams learned from. But so what it is basically is the hours that you put in, like, you know, learning the foundation, but also how many hours are you practicing reading other people and coming back and having the people that you've read speak to Lillian and say, hey, you know, she got this correct or this and that. And so it's kind of like this back and forth validation. And we don't always get validation in the real world. When I'm reading someone, they're not going to tell me if I'm right or wrong. But when learning this, it's about the practice and how many hours I'm putting into practicing. So for a whole year, I did practices and I did group sessions and, you know, every day I was like doing something, whether it's meditation or spiritual hygiene, to kind of get a clearer connection to the spirit world or intuitive, because they're both different.
So how do you use that in healing?
So, and sometimes, so I'm also like, I'm also a medical medium. So, but I don't have to be a medical medium to help people. But sometimes I just kind of feel out maybe depression or some mental things that are going on. Sometimes, health things as well, something what to look at. And also when I do Reiki, I get a lot of information coming in too about what I'm feeling about the person. So, and Reiki is separate from psychic or medium, but it just comes in and I just kind of give it if I need to.
Right.
Psychic is a healing, I feel psychic medium is also a healing modality.
Is that something you learned or something that you've, a gift you've always had? How did you realize that you could also be a medium?
Actually, you know what? Before you answer that, let's take a break and we'll be right back. Hey guys, wanted to let you know about another show that you should be listening to. If you like our show, we're sure you'll like this one too.
Are you intrigued by alternative therapies but worried that it might be a load of hippie nonsense? Then this is the podcast for you. I am Rachel Jones Wild, and I am the host of The Cynic's Guide to Hippie Shit. Each week, I speak to a different alternative therapist about all things hippie and woo-woo. We talk about energy healing, astrology, shamanism, and much more besides. And I ask whether being a cynic is actually a good thing. Search for The Cynic's Guide to Hippie Shit wherever you get your podcasts.
And now back to the skeptic metaphysicians.
Is that something you learned or something that you've, a gift you've always had? How did you realize that you could also be a medium or that you were
apparently,
also a medium?
Apparently I've always had it, but I didn't know. You know, I only thought if you were to see like a spirit, like a ghost or something, like it would be right there, like in the movie. But what I didn't realize is that when someone, I was getting a reading and she says, you're going to be doing mediumship. And I said, no way. I get readings that'll do reading. So she made me give her a reading. I was like, but I'm paying you to read me. She's like, you're going to give me a reading. And so I started to tell her what I was seeing in my imagination. And she was, I brought her to tears when she started to cry. I knew that, okay, maybe I do have something. She's crying about the solution.
So then the question is, did she then pay you for the reading?
Right.
She was a wash. They paid each other.
I still had a place for the session.
Wow, see, that's wrong. No. That's wrong. I don't know. Maybe she wanted to make you pay twice because you made her cry for crying. Mm-hmm. Okay, so all kinds of different types of healing modalities and all that kind of stuff. Something we've not touched on yet is the jewelry that you do, the wrap jewelry. Can you explain to us the symbolism or the reasons why wrap jewelry is good for this type of thing?
Well, because you can carry it on, right? You can put it around your neck. You can wear it as a ring, bracelet. You know, I mean, if you want to carry your stones in your pocket or in your bra, that's fine, you know. But some people like to wear it, you know, and it looks nice, pretty, it's shiny, and it's unique. But you can also have it with you, you know, and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's way uncomfortable when I wear it in my bra, so I try not to do that. So.
You're getting chafed.
Yeah. Yeah, no one wants to get chafed. So what do you wrap it with? How like explain to us what it looks like, because I'm not sure that we've ever seen that.
It's I wrap it with copper, and copper is also really good for you. But I wrap it with copper, different styles of wrap, and I've used gold before. I've used silver, but for some reason I just really enjoy copper because it's really easy to work with. So it depends, you know, sometimes I don't know how it's going to be wrapped. I always say that the crystal showed me how it wants to be wrapped. Because sometimes sure. I'll try to wrap a crystal and it's not working. Like nothing. I can try 10 times and it's like, okay, this crystal here wants to be free. Doesn't want to be wrapped. So I would use another one and then it would low effort lifting. So it just kind of showed me how it wants to be wrapped.
I know people use crystals sometimes to heal people. Mm-hmm. Do you use them for that purpose, or is that not really the reason for the wrap jewelry?
Yeah, sometimes I definitely use crystals to work with healing. So crystals are very intelligent, you know, they've been around longer than most things here, right? So, and the thing about crystals is that they can be cleared, they can be charged. So for instance, let's say someone has a headache, you know, and if you want to maybe, let's say, work with a clear quartz, the master stone, which is what they call it, a master stone, you can work with maybe, it can absorb some, you know, some of the things happening within the center here, energetically, and sometimes even physically, the physical pain. You know, right now I've been working a lot with fluorite. Fluorite is the healing stone, and I was having trouble sleeping, let's say. Started sleeping with it under my pillow. My dreams have been so vivid. I'm able to sleep like a baby. And this is like, after, like I wasn't working with crystals. Like I was working with crystals, but I kind of like put that aside and started doing other things. But when I got back to like really paying attention, it's like night and day. I sleep like a baby. And it's like every night I'm sleeping with fluorite under my pillow. So it's very subtle, but it works.
Note to self, Karen, fluorite.
Yeah, right. Not fluoride, right.
Fluorite. Yep, it's like Bluetooth a ring in there.
Oh, I totally was going to sleep with my two toothpicks on my pillow.
A little pressed under the pillow. Not working. Yeah, before you smell good.
I like Colgate, actually. You gave us a really good example of how you clear these cords that are sometimes connecting us that maybe we no longer need. And it'd be wonderful if someone was able to go to you to have you help them clear or remove these cords. But if someone wasn't able to physically come to you, how would you recommend they go about getting that connection out of them?
I do a lot of my work, believe it or not,
virtually.
Virtual, right? So whether it's on Zoom, so I do distance healing with Reiki, and I do remove cords when I'm doing the Reiki as well. I also tell them if they're not doing a service and they just kind of need guidance. There's a lot of great videos on YouTube that I've looked up, like a meditation of how to remove the cord. But for me, my best advice is they're very visual to visualize it actually taking place and happening. Because visualization is so important.
So Will has done Reiki on me several times, and there have been times where I have felt it so much, like I'm not looking at him, and I've told him, you know, don't press down on my leg or whatever. And I look and he's not even touching me. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of focused and pointed energy. When you're doing it virtually, would someone have that same experience, or is it more like, how does it work virtually?
Everyone's really different, because even in person, some people aren't really sensitive to the energy, like they barely feel it. And then some are very sensitive. So I feel like it depends on the sensitivity of someone, but it definitely, it's still working. Like the Reiki is still reaching them. And some people feel it more than others, but I prefer like in person, or because like I prefer everything in person. Like even like when I call like something, I like to speak to a live person, like I'm just that person. But
yeah,
it still works. It's still beneficial either way.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is. And I wasn't, you know, I hope.
Oh no,
I didn't mean to seem like it was. I just didn't know, because like when his hand is like shooting out. I mean, I don't know how he works, but in my mind, it's like shooting out of his hand on the spot. But like in a computer, it's like angle it towards you. Like how do you know? I mean,
what I do is I call upon their energy to. So I call upon their energy, and some people can bring it, the person's energy, to a teddy bear. Sometimes like they can do the Reiki on the teddy bear. Because the intention is to connect with that, to their energy. So you're able to kind of, with Reiki and with permission, you know, to bring them here with you, even though they're over there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I can visualize that.
My Reiki master, the one that I learned from, he said that he would hold his teddy bear, like the neck of the teddy bear was like this. So then the guy that he was doing it on the next day said, oh, I have this ache in my neck and I don't know where it's coming from. And he says, oh, I had the teddy bear kind of lopsided. So he realized that he needs to have a teddy bear flat, so that, because that's really him in the teddy bear, the spirit, the, you know, it's interesting.
Now we're talking about voodoo dolls.
I was just going to say, I knew you were going to say that.
So with me, I don't really bring their energy into a bear or a pillow. I have them here. So sometimes this is where their head would be, their chest, their feet. And so like, I can feel different areas. If I'm feeling this area here, it's like stomach, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just me feeling Habithi in my hands. Habithi is that tingle that you feel when you are working on them, that thing. You know what I'm talking about, Will.
I do. Sometimes I get tingles. Sometimes I get heat. Sometimes it's you know, different sensations. And some people feel it differently from when I do it.
Yeah.
I know Karen feels it very much like pressure. Mm-hmm. Other people I've worked on feel it like heat. Some people have felt it cold. Actually.
Cold, yeah.
So
sometimes when I feel pain in my hair, like it actually hurts, I feel like it's more something physical happening within their body. When I feel the like tingle, they kind of feel more like it might be more like a spiritual level. I mean, it depends. You know, it's different for every client is going to be different.
You mentioned earlier that sometimes you get messages while you're giving Reiki. That's never happened to me, because I'm not really an intuitive. I'm not psychic. I'm not a medium. Not anything like that. Karen,
I beg to differ.
Contrary to public belief, but what has happened with me is that, as I'm laying hands on someone, sometimes I will say, like, it'll just, the energy will draw me to a certain place in their body that they didn't mention was where they needed the help. So it's almost like intuitively, I know where I need to place my hands for the best possible outcome. And my Reiki master teacher told me that Reiki energy is almost sentient. So it'll go exactly where it's needed the most. So that might be, okay, now to your point here, Karen, maybe that's my intuitive sense is going, I need to go here, and then, I mean, not the Reiki. So just forget everything I just said for the last 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I would like to know, especially like during the COVID and the pandemic, what has there been more of a need for? Reiki or mediumship? Like, what have people been seeking you out for most?
Well, when the pandemic started, that's when I was done. I thought, that's it. There goes my business, you know? But people were calling in a lot for intuitive messages. People booked a lot of readings after mm-hmm. the pandemic. They just needed some guidance of like what to do and their emotions and feelings. And I Reiki, I got some Reiki business as well, but more so with the reading.
That's interesting.
And I did a lot of bone retrievals as well, shamanic bone retrievals.
And that's where my next question was going to go. It's going to go to the shamanic tradition, because you are, I don't want to say aware of it, but you're comfortable with that. You consider yourself a shamanic healer. So talking back to cord cutting, sometimes you can use, and I know that right now it's not very popular because of their claims of appropriation and things like that, but like sage and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Through a shamanic healing ceremony, I would assume you would use those types of things to help with the cord stuff. But now I'm deathly curious to know what a soul retrieval is.
Soul retrieval is, how I do it, it's a shamanic term for like going into the, it's like you're in the spirit world. It's the journey that I take within my third eye. So I work with my spirit animals, and it's kind of like I go on this journey to kind of find fragments. So for instance, someone who has suffered a lot of trauma in their life, maybe child abuse, perhaps maybe rape or things like that, or maybe a divorce. You know, when people are going through things like that, they check out in a way. They don't, it's too much to handle. It's too much pain. And so they kind of go elsewhere. They take their awareness elsewhere subconsciously without even knowing they're doing it. And so they're like, I've never been the same after these situations. I feel like a part of me is missing. I'm depressed now. I'm this and that. And so those are fragments, like a fragmented soul. And it's not that it's missing. It's just it's been displaced. And so how do we go about bringing the pieces of the puzzle of this person together so they can feel a bit more whole? And so that's where I come in. And I do this virtually. So they relax and they're listening to a shamanic drumming. I listen to my own shamanic drumming to get me into that mood of going in for this journey. And I speak fragments. And so let's say in my mind's eye, I am traveling in a forest and I see something shining like a diamond. I go to that because that's where my awareness is. And then I see them as a child. Right. And so that fragment kind of turns me to the child. And so I see the state of the child. Are they upset? Are they crying? Do they feel scared? Are they upset? Are they mad? And so I say, you know, you're safe now. It's time to come back and to kind of get back to where you belong. And so I retrieve up to five different fragments. And then I bring that back into the heart space and I blow it. I blow it back into their heart space. I feel it. And then I would go over with them what I saw on the journey. And so a lot of times they're like, oh, you know, like, wow, like, I remember that happening to me or that. Yeah, you're, you know, so it's very deep. It's also people would kind of consider this shadow work as well.
I know that your heritage, where your family comes from, is South America. And there's a difference between South American shamanic rituals or traditions and Native North American shamanic rituals. The thought of a spiritual retrieval immediately, the way you explained it, it's perfect. It makes perfect sense. Is it true that you are following more of a South American shamanic tradition, or is there even that much of a difference between the two?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, I was taught this by Muriel Gray. She's a great shaman, and I took some courses with her, and she taught me this, and then I just kind of took it on, and like just it became. I started to tap into something that was already in me, and I don't know where it comes from. It just comes from a place of knowing. It's a lot of symbolism. Perhaps I've been in, you know, I've had a life as a Native American. Maybe I've also had a life. Well, I've had lives as a shaman as well. Like perhaps maybe in South America. So it's kind of like all these things are kind of like in me and I'm just tapping in. And sometimes I don't know what side of me I'm tapping in on, but it's there. You know, it's interesting. I feel like I respect both. I even respect like in the African cultures and how they do their healing. Like, it's just fascinating.
So you're in Virginia Beach currently. So if someone wants to reach out to you to get a healing or a reading or anything like that, obviously you mentioned that you prefer in person, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're not in Virginia Beach and you want to reach out to Maria, we'll lay down all of the links in our show notes to her social media platforms. And you can go to her website. Your company really is called Flower Magic. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Magic spelled with a CK.
Right. So like the real magic, not like a stage magician magic. Like magic.
Magic. You gotta say
Yeah. Right. So we'll add all those links to our show notes in case you want to reach out to her. But we would be remiss if we didn't ask you. We have a psychic medium in our midst. Are you getting any kinds of messages or anything that we should be aware of? Maybe that you've been struggling, holding yourself back from telling us, now's the time, Maria. What message do you have for us?
The first thing that came to mind was something big in November. I'm not sure if this past November, like something shift, but I didn't feel like there's something going to be shifting as far as how you're going to be doing your work in November is what I'm seeing. It's almost I see this like bowling ball, like just like kind of making way for something new, like a new wave or something.
Ooh.
So just keep in
and
mind.
You feel it was last November or this coming November?
Sometimes when months come to me, I just want to make sure, I feel like it's more future, but I just want to make sure that there wasn't some major shift that just happened in November. But November just really highlighted for me. And it just highlighted for me as a huge transformation, almost kind of like a do-over of something.
Hmm.
Oh, wow.
So it's because I see like a bowling ball and it's like moving something out the way. I get a lot of visuals. Like I see a movie in my head. So keep in mind, something about November, perhaps a name, like something with a name or just something, someone big that you're going to be interviewing, but it's almost like a needed change or perhaps something that you've been thinking about a lot. I feel like it's going to really come from a deep heart space for you as well. So perhaps something that you've been working on, or because I even see like you writing something down about it. So I hope that resonates. If not, just...
Well, yeah, all right. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, Karen, and I'm not sure what the timing was, but this new project that we're talking about working on.
I was thinking about that.
I think, didn't it start in November?
I don't know. I don't remember what, no. I think it was after that. Well, I don't know, maybe because we were talking about it in Florida, and we were in Florida in December. So it might have started. We'll have to check our emails.
Yeah, we'll have to check our dates.
Okay.
Cool. Well, Maria, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us and our audience. I'm definitely going to reach out to you because I think I've got 100,000 cords that I'm going to need some help with because I'm tired all the time. And I know exactly what you meant when you said spiritually tired. I am spiritually exhausted and blocked. So I think you might be able to do me some serious good. So okay. I'm going to reach out to you for sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Cool. Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding? Thank you for coming on.
It was such a pleasure to meet.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we close out the show, I wanted to share, Karen, another review that came in.
A good one?
A good one. Yes, another good one. I'm not sure if I would read a bad one.
Well, I mean, again, transparency. Well, maybe you should.
No, well, see, the idea is to keep the bad ones to ourselves and make ourselves better so we turn them around and then they do a good one.
But it could be like the mean tweets.
Oh, I like that idea.
It'd be kind of fun.
I hadn't thought of that.
But don't leave us bad reviews, please, people.
Send us a bad email. Well, don't leave us a bad review because reviews you can't take down. So. Well, this review comes from the United States. So we're back in the States and it's, I'm not sure who this person is. It's KKEPMI. How would you say that?
Kekepmi?
Kekepmi? I don't know. We butcher these names so badly. So please forgive us. Anyway, this person actually gave us a 5-star review. Ooh. Yeah. Very short, which is perfect. And that this person says, so cool. I love this podcast, an enlightening journey into the spiritual realm most are not familiar with.
Nice.
Short, sweet, to the point, and gets the exact message out. So, Kekepmi, thank you so much for leaving us a review. We really appreciate it. And we would love to hear from you. Yes, you, the person listening to this show right now. We really want to hear from you. Please visit us at skepticmetaphysician.com where you can leave us a voicemail or an email or a review directly on the site. You may just hear your voice or your words on the show, and we're always looking for ways to improve it. So if you have some feedback and you'd like to provide good or bad, just let us know. You'd like to keep this off the air, and we're happy to just take the criticism to ourselves, despite what Karen says. Of course, reviews and ratings are a great way to evolve and grow the show, so we'd love it if you would take a minute and leave one of those for us as well. Well, as always, I want to thank you for coming along on this journey of discovery with us. Don't forget, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram under Skeptic Metaphysicians. As always, if you know someone that would benefit from hearing the messages we've shared on this show or any of our others, I hope you'll consider sharing us with that person. It'll help grow the show and may just help someone else come to terms with the fact that we're so much more than just this three-dimensional body that we inhabit. I hope you've enjoyed this episode as much as we have. That is all we have for now, but we'll see you on the next episode of The Skeptic Metaphysicians. Until then, take care.